Everybody, get that. So there we go. All right, let's pray, and then we'll go right into the word of the Lord. The scripture today is going to come out of 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 21. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 21. Let's pray. God, we come to you today just to say thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. God, thank you for remaining faithful. Thank you that it is impossible for you to fail, that if you speak something to us and over us, that it must come to pass. Thank you for being an amazing Father. And today, Lord, I pray that you show us things that we've never seen, Lord, that we can take the word today and apply it to our lives individually and collectively. Lord, that today it'll be a word that will forever change the course of our lives, that today we can take the truths that you show us, Lord, and we can apply them, and that you can receive all the glory and honor that you so rightfully deserve. We say yes to you today, Lord. We say yes to your love and your mercy. We say yes to your revelations, yes to your Holy Spirit, yes to you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you bless each and every person in this call and that will hear this message, Lord, that today we will take a truth, something revealed to us by your precious Holy Spirit, and it will forever change our lives and our families' lives. We believe these things, we say yes to them, we consider them done by faith. It's only in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So obviously we are smack dab in the middle of going back to school. And one of the absolute greatest privileges that I so much enjoy is getting to see the great supply list of going back to school. I love it. I gripe about it every year. The Lord shows me to stop griping, and I'll do it again. I'm going to, at some point, Lord willing, well, he is willing, to stop griping about it. But I was talking to my business partner the other day. He gave me the list for his daughter, and obviously Joshua and Isabel have their list. And instead of being grateful that we have the ability to purchase these things and to help out some, I found myself getting frustrated at the cost of the list, at the extent of the list, even to the point where I spent more time griping about the length of the list to my business partner, my best friend, than I did telling God thank you. To the point I could quote for his daughter, she's going into second grade, exactly the total for all the things on the list, instead of saying, God, thank you that it's not a care for us. God, thank you that you've provided for us. God, thank you for the ability to buy these things and to help out with these classrooms. You see, I was more focused on complaining than I was being grateful. And I know at times that we all do that, I'm pretty sure. I know I'm really good at it, unfortunately, sometimes. But I know when I talk to our kids or people, you know, ask me questions about the Bible or I minister to them, I know one of the things I definitely harp on and stay on is our attitudes. Our attitudes determine our aptitudes. How we think about something can definitely change the outcome. And one of the stories that God took me to early this morning is one of my definitely favorite stories in the Bible. Obviously, it comes out of 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 21, and then we'll jump around a little bit. But the Bible says, so David said to Michal, or some people pronounce it Michael or Michal or Michal. For the sake of today, I'll probably go say Michal. I'll probably say Michael next time. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, verse 22, and I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in great honor. Verse 23, then Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. The backstory is the children of Israel, David and all them, They lose the Ark of the Covenant. They ultimately give it back to a man by the name of Obed-Edom or Obed-Edom. The Bible says that God's blessing everything in his house. David comes to himself and David says, wait a minute. What's going on at Obed-Edom's house is what I want going on in my house. David, the Bible proclaims, is a man after God's own heart. David says, listen, I know that Uzzah, if that's how you pronounce his name, just died from touching the ark. But God's doing a miraculous work through Obed-Edom's house. I want the presence of the Lord back. And one thing about David, when he wanted something, he'd go get it. So the Bible says that David, he sent for the ark. He goes and gets it. He's offering all these beautiful sacrifices, all these offerings. It's a beautiful display of praise and of worship. And the Bible says that Michal looked out the window and she sees David dancing before the Lord. And she's pretty much drilling him. She's pretty much, in today's terms, saying, hey, listen, David, you're dancing around. You're becoming unclothed. You're undignified. You're making a mockery of yourself, of the kingdom. You're making a fool of yourself. Calm down and do things like a king should do them. In other words, kings should act a certain kind of way, and David, you're acting below that. Michal's attitude was everything. Instead of appreciating what God had done, instead of saying, listen, the presence of God, the presence of Yahweh, the presence of the God of Israel is coming back to where it belongs, she decided to look at a man dancing, showing his appreciation and his love for the Lord. And because her attitude was in the wrong place, the Bible goes on to say that she was childless, that she was barren, that she did not have the ability to produce. The first thing I want to talk about today, when I was thinking about the list that our kids and many kids, if not all kids, have, you know, to get their crayons, their backpacks, their headphones. We didn't get that when I was a kid. Kleenex, all these supplies. The first thing that I think you and I need to put on our supply list to God, our list that we should go to God and say, okay, God, I want to have a right attitude. Our attitude, how we look at things, changes everything. The Bible says, so a man thinketh, he is. I believe that if Michal would have looked at David and watched and maybe even joined in, definitely joined in his praise and his worship, I believe she would have went on to have many, many children. I believe she wouldn't have been barren. I believe God would have blessed her womb. I believe God would have showed her favor, because so many times in the past, she did things that I believe God wanted her to do. One thing God reminded me about that somehow I had forgotten, Michal, years before this, before she's telling David he's acting like a fool, she was the one, the Bible says, that was madly in love with David. David comes in to her. They become husband and wife. And King Saul wants to kill David. And Michal is one of the first people recorded in scripture to help King David escape the wrath of Saul. I would argue that if it wasn't for Michal doing what God needed to get done, that maybe David would have lost his life. The Bible says that Michal lets David out through a window. King Saul's men, they come in. And they're like, listen, where's David at? She says, listen, he's back in the bedroom. She gives him precious time to escape. You see, I believe Michal's attitude in that situation, she was concerned and consumed by love. She was concerned and consumed by her husband. She was willing to do the right thing. She was willing to go against her dad. She was willing to go against the king because she was consumed by love. What if our attitudes were, we were so consumed by the love of God that we were forced to give him the praise and the worship that he so rightfully deserves? What if we see somebody doing something that maybe we don't understand or we don't agree with, and instead of trying to correct them or to tell them how bad they are or to tell them they're acting like a fool, what if we said, okay, God, maybe I don't understand it and maybe I don't even agree with it, but God, you be the one to fix it. Do you see the difference in our attitude? What if I was grateful that me and Alex were able to supply for our kids and to help some classrooms instead of complaining about the cost of crayons or Kleenex or markers or whatever, or Clorox wipes. Hallelujah, Clorox wipes are expensive. I know I just got an amen. I can't hear anybody, but I'm telling you I did. But what if instead of complaining about those things, we looked at it and we said, God, I know maybe this is a lot of money or this seems a bit extensive, but God, you're the one that supplied. You're the one when I should have been dead to save my life. You're the one when I didn't have enough money to go through the drive-thru at Wendy's and now I can see and what the Lord has done. What if I chose to change my attitude, change my focus from looking at what I don't have into what God has done for me? McCall's attitude years prior was she was so focused on her husband that I believe she was willing to lose her life. It didn't matter that her dad was king. What mattered is she was lying to the king. She was lying to the king's officials. She was saying, listen, David's not here because she had helped him escape. Her attitude was, listen, I need to be so consumed by the love that I have for my husband that I'm willing to take any chance. The first thing is our attitude. The second thing is, what if you and I were willing to take some chances? For me personally, I've found that I'm willing to take chances on many things except sometimes when it comes to the things of God. You put me in front of the right infomercial and I know that that vacuum cleaner or that whatever it is probably is not going to perform like what that commercial is showing, but I'm still willing to take a chance on it. To the point that I'm not really allowed to watch infomercials at my house anymore. Because maybe I bought a few things and they were not as seen on TV. Isabel just gave me an amen. Can't wait for them to go back to school. Hallelujah. But it's one of those, things that will take chances on the stock market, or we'll take chances on this investment or on this person, or we won't do this or we will do that. But when it comes to the things of God, we think that God is slow or God is not able to accomplish what he's told us that he's able to accomplish. But what if we just took God at his word and said, okay, God, your word says this, so I'm going to respond to your word by doing that. It's a very simple thing and it's a simple gesture, but I'm telling you, when the Bible says that if you and I will give our tithes to God, that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you and I cannot consume or we cannot be able to understand, because it doesn't make sense how 10% can turn into so many great things and such an abundance. I know Brother Kevin can testify that it doesn't make sense how when we don't know what to do at times and we mess things up in our business at times, that God comes in and fixes and God comes in and creates opportunities. I think before this call, Coach Pardee was talking about how because we did a good job here, then this opened up so many different avenues and opportunities for us. What if you and I took that kind of attitude and said, okay, if I do a good job with this, then maybe people will give me an opportunity with that. What if we said, okay, God, I'm going to pay my 10%, or I'm going to be faithful with a little to watch you turn it into a lot. What if for me, if I quit complaining about that supply list? What if McCall would say, listen, I may not understand why you're dancing like you're dancing, David, but instead of judging you, I'll choose to love you. Instead of condemning you, I'll choose to accept you. What if you and I, instead of condemning people, chose to accept them? Maybe they don't speak the same language as us, and maybe their skin color is a little different than us, and maybe they don't have as much money as we do, or has a whole lot more money than we do. What if we just said, okay, God, they're your people, so I'll accept them. I'll take a chance on them. Because the good news is, brothers and sisters, if you and I are obedient to the word of God, we may look at it like it's taking a chance, but it's the surest thing that you and I will ever do in life. The Bible says that God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That means when God says something over you and he says something over me, then there is not a demon in hell that can stop the goodness of God. There's not a demon in hell that can stop the word of God from accomplishing everything else, everything that it sets out to do. My question today is, how did McCall go from risking her life? How did McCall go from, the Bible says, was madly in love with King David? When you search the scriptures, hallelujah, he showed me this morning and it changed me. almost every time that I've found so far in Scripture, the Bible, when it talks about a man and a woman loving each other, it's the man had eyes for the woman. It's the man wanted or desired the woman. But when it came to Michal, the Bible says that she saw David and loved him. She saw David and was madly in love with him. You see, I believe she initiated that love. I believe she was willing to take a chance on him. But because we call him King David now, but don't forget, he wasn't even worthy to be brought before the prophets. He wasn't even worthy to be called in. He was out there keeping the sheep. So when Michal decided to take a chance on David, and she put her own life in the balance, how did it go from that kind of love, that kind of compassion, that kind of bravery, to when she saw King David dancing before the Lord, she ridiculed him? What happened? How could a woman go from being madly in love with a man? How could a woman go from literally lying to the king, literally lying to her own dad, to now she's ridiculing the king and condemning him? My third and final point today is that she lost focus. I believe Michal for years felt abandoned, because the story goes on that she's King David's wife. Saul takes her away, gives her to this other man. And years later, King David calls him back to himself. But according to Scripture, I believe that there were many times that King David could have called Michal back to himself. I believe after he had certain victories, I believe he could have reached out and brought her back. And I believe Michal was offended. I believe she was let down. I believe she had lost her attitude of love. I believe that she, instead of appreciating David and what David was doing, I think she started to look at the faces of other people. She looked at the slave girl. She looked at all these other things going on. And I believe because she lost her attitude and her love, that she ultimately became hopeless. I believe Michal was too focused on everything else around her and lost focus on God. Could you imagine what her and King David talked about privately? I'm sure David shared his dreams with her. I'm sure David shared his hopes of a better future. Maybe in today's terms, David would have told Michal, listen, it's not going to be like this always. I remember so vividly years ago, I would talk to Alex about our finances, and I would be like, listen, we got to be responsible, and you know, this doesn't add up, but somehow God's going to make it. No, I would say this doesn't add up. And she'd say, listen, we just got to be faithful and watch God make it happen. I remember it like it was yesterday. I would say, babe, but you don't understand. I'm the man of the house. 2 + 2's got to equal 4. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, I have good news. 2 + 2 does equal 4, but God will make that 4 go further than 10. God will make that 4 go further than 100. God is a God of abundance and of increase, that if you and I can change our attitude and never lose hope and never lose focus on the one that knew no sin yet became sin, so that you and I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if we can believe and if we can hope and if we can take a chance on God, then your life and my life will never be the same. I believe Michal felt abandoned. I believe she was upset that it took David so long to bring her back to the family. I believe that she was hurt. How many of us today can testify that when we experience hurt, sometimes that keeps us from the things of God? I know people that left church because so-and-so didn't speak to them, or so-and-so didn't preach about them or mention their name in a sermon. People call it church hurt. I don't even know what that is. I do not know how a building can hurt you. I don't understand how if Susie doesn't speak to me, that will keep me away from the things of God. I really don't. I know that I complain about a supply list, but I'm telling you, I do not understand how just because the preacher didn't preach what I wanted him to, or and there's songs that get sung that I absolutely do not like at our church, but it will not stop me from getting into the presence of God. It will not stop me from telling him thank you. It will not stop me from acknowledging him. In closing, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20, the Bible says, "Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.'" David was coming back to his house after God had done all these amazing things, and he was worshiping and he was praising, and I believe it was glorious. Because David remembered that he used to be out there with the sheep, and a bear would come and attack one of the sheep, and it was God that allowed him to save the sheep. And these things would happen, and God was bringing him victory after victory. He was in the cave, and God would bring him a victory. And he was in the battlefield, and God would bring him a victory. And David allowed those victories to turn into worship. Brothers and sisters, today we need to allow our small victories to turn into worship. We need to allow us being more than overcomers to turn into worship. Just because it doesn't feel right doesn't mean it should stop us from worship. But when Michal comes out to tell him, to ridicule him, and to condemn him, I didn't realize what she interfered with. The Bible says one more time in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20, "Then David returned to bless his household." God showed me, an hour ago, David was coming back to bless Michal. David was literally coming back to take care of his family. David was literally coming back to give them gifts and to honor them and to tell them thank you and putting them in a position of honor. But because of Michal's attitude, because she lost hope, because she wasn't willing to stay focused on the things of God, she interfered with her blessing. The man was literally on a path to come bless her. The Bible says David was coming back to bless his household. She was part of the household. And the Bible says that she came out and she intervened with the blessing. Our attitudes will intervene with our blessing. Us not believing God will intervene with our blessing. Us losing hope and not having worship for God will intervene with our blessing. Michal, because she wasn't willing to focus on love, lost her blessing. And the Bible goes on to say that she was barren and without children. Lastly, David's response to her, it says everything to me. David's response to Michal when she's ridiculing him and beating him up is something that I want to encourage us with today. And I believe it's how we should respond to the enemy. And it's how we should respond to people that maybe don't understand or that don't believe exactly like we believe. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father." David said, "Listen, I know who I am because I'm chosen." Brothers and sisters, today I want you to know who you are. You are the chosen of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are no more the borrower. The Bible says that you're the lender. The Bible says that you are first and not last. You are the head and not the tail. The Bible says that you are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you can go straight to the throne room and talk to the King of heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus. The enemy wants to steal your identity. He wants you to be more focused on what's going on around you than more focused on the King of kings and the Lord of lords. David's response back to Michal was, "Listen, it was before your daddy It was before the king that God chose me. I want you to know that today God chose you in the middle of your sin and even before your sin. I want you to know before you ever thought about calling out to God, He already placed a mark on you. He already sealed you. He already chose you, and He knew that you would mess up, and He knew that you would let Him down, and He knew that I would have a bad attitude about that daggum supply list, but He is faithful and He is just and He is good. And I want you to know today, brothers and sisters, that you can say when the enemy comes in like a flood that my God will raise up a standard. You can tell the enemy it was God that chose me. It was Jesus that died for me, and the blood of Jesus heals me, redeems me, and gives me a seat with glory with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What's your response to the enemy? What's your attitude to the enemy? I don't believe you're supposed to fight with him for 30 minutes a day. I believe you tell him to sit back in the name of the Lord Jesus because God chose me. You want to know your value? You were chosen by the God of all creation. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you that you're exactly who that you say that you are. And I thank you, God, that if we stay focused on you, our attitude can be focused on you. We can believe in you, God. I know that I call it taking a chance on you, but I know you're a sure thing. You're a good papa. You're a good father, whereby we cry, Abba. You are exactly who you say, Yahweh. And I thank you for your healings and your miracles and never giving up on us for second and third and thousand chances. I thank you today, Lord, that we will find our value in you. God, I thank you that we can have an attitude like David and say, it was God that chose me. It was God that chose me. I'll say it again. It was God that chose me. God, give us a revelation to know that it was you that chose us. God, give us a revelation that we can know that it was your love that redeemed us. It was your love that picks us up. It was your love that forgives us. It was your blood that forgives us from all unrighteousness. Yahweh, today we say yes. Yes to your goodness. Yes to your choice. And we bless you today. We honor you. I thank you that despite everything going on, all my complaining, you're always right there to speak. God, give us ears to hear. And today we love you, we praise you, we honor you. By faith we consider these things done, we seal them in the heavens, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.